I'm going to go to quite a few scriptures this morning. We're going to put most of these up on the screen. So this is going to be kind of a teaching, preaching message. Psalms chapter 119, beginning with verse 89. And this ties in somewhat to where the season that we're in during this time of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. And actually the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Harvest. And we know that in the Lord, there's always a progressive unfolding of His kingdom and His grace to our life. That's the good news, is that we don't stop with the little when God has a lot to give. Amen? So we don't settle. We keep pressing in because the unlimited expression of God that's revealed to us is revealed to us through His Word. The Word of the Lord is so many things to us. And I want to go into some of that this morning, some of the aspects of the Word, but also most importantly, how we receive that Word, how we become that Word, and how we express that Word. Everybody say, receiving, becoming, and expressing. So in Psalms 119, verse 89, the 39 is what we're going to focus on, but I want to read a few other scriptures there as well. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Everybody say, it is settled. When God says it, it is. The Word of God is something that is spoken by God with no intention of ever wavering. The scripture says that there's no shadow, nor is there any turning in the Lord. But there's a consistency in the Lord in what He speaks. God's yes is a yes, and His nay is a nay. That's different oftentimes than we as human beings, right? We have challenges sometimes making our yes a yes and our nay a nay because we tend to vacillate, but God doesn't vacillate. He's consistent. He says His faithfulness endures to all generations. So He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What the Lord started with, He continues with until He finishes what He wants to do. Amen? That's the good news, is because you can trust the Lord with your life. When you commit yourself to the Lord, God is trustworthy to see the process through in your life to its completion. Aren't you glad of that? It's God's goodwill to work within you. He wants to work within you for His own pleasure. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances for all of Your servants. Unless Your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, or never will forget the word that You've spoken. Amen. For by them You have given me life. I am Yours. Save me. For I've sought Your word. I've sought Your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me. But I will consider, Lord, what You've spoken, what Your testimony is, because Your word is triumphant. How many know that whatever you go through, whatever you face in life, you can always put your trust in Him? In God we trust. Aren't you glad that that's on our currency? Some would want to take it off, but in God we trust. And that literally has to be the cry of your heart, that you establish yourself around the word of the Lord that's been established by His own mouth and by the consistency of how He's worked that word in your life. So the word of God is literally the heart of God. Everybody say, the word of God is the heart of God. It's the heart of God revealed to the world. It's the Genesis. What does Genesis mean? Beginning. The Word of God is the beginning of everything. Everything begins and ends with His Word. Jesus Christ is the author. Now, what does an author do? He communicates, doesn't he? Jesus is the communicator. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So everything begins with the word of the Lord. Everything is maintained by the word of the Lord. Everything is completed according to the word of the Lord. So the Lord begins everything and establishes everything according to his word. It conveys to us, the word of God conveys to us who he is. So if you were to describe something in life that's the most precious to you, what would you say it is? What is the most precious thing that you have within your capacity to know today? The word of the Lord, right? Okay, I've been telling you about the word, right? I gave you a hint about the answer. The most precious commodity that you have. And now I know you could get a little bit drawing some lines and trying to, you know, split hairs, but let's just go. It's the word. Because Jesus is the word, so you don't have to separate or differentiate between the two. They're one and the same. Jesus is the word. Now, some of the things that the word, I want to tell you about the word this morning, and this just is kind of a little bit of a appetizer getting ready for the main course. Jeremiah 23, and you don't have to go there in this, I'll just quote it. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Wow. Everybody say fire. If you want to put some fire into something, put some word into it. You know, what you've got to say, what you opinionate, what you think doesn't mean much, but it means a lot when the word of the Lord is brought to bear. The word of the Lord is like a fire. And so when we begin as these trumpets that we are, as we begin to blow this trumpet, as we begin to speak this word, we begin to release fire everywhere we go. A lot of the people in the church want to be firemen, but we want to be fire starters. Fire starters. Amen. Puts out the fire, but a fire starter starts the fire. The church wasn't raised up to put out the fire. We're raised up to stoke the fire. Woo! We get the fire going. Let's put some more word on top of it to make it grow hotter. So the word of God is like a fire, saith Jeremiah. You know, it's Jeremiah was this prophet. It also said the word of God was like inside of him and he couldn't contain it. You know that you're on the right pathway when you get so intense and you get so fired up that you can't contain what you've got. I turned off the news this morning after I watched it for a little while and had my coffee and read the sports page. You know, the Bible said you always start off your day with the Lord. To the American male, that's the Lord, the sports page, the coffee, and the news. But I did that. I did the Lord second because I wanted to get myself in tune. I didn't want to approach God with all sleepy and, you know, eyes stuck together and grouchy. I wanted to get a little bit alert, a little coffee, a little newspaper, sports section. The rest of the only section I care about. The sports section and a little bit of news, and that little bit will go you a long ways, right? So I turn that off, and then I sit there in my chair and I go, Kila moson de la mani, komoson de la mani, ola mason de la mani. I praise you, Lord. I magnify your name. You're so awesome, Lord. Hallelujah. And I was going along there, and all of a sudden, revive me again. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive me again. That's why I got that song for this morning. I'm always throwing a text to Darren and saying, so let's sing that song today. And he said, are you serious? And I say, yes. He always wants to know if I'm serious. In Psalms 119, it says, verse 130, the entrance of your word gives light. The entrance of your word gives light. Woo. The Bible said the word of God is like a lamp for our feet. If you're living in darkness in any way, just let the word of the Lord come in and dispel it. I mean, just put God's word in the midst of your darkness, of your fear, of the anxiety of your life. Just let the word of God triumph over everything that you're going through, and light will shine in the midst of your darkness. Ephesians 6:17 said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God gives us a battle sword called the word of the Lord. When the enemy rises up against you, lift up your sword, which is the word of God, and speak to him. Hallelujah. Take upon the whole armor of God, brethren. Put on the sword, put on the helmet of your salvation. Put on the breastplate of your righteousness. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Let your loins be girded about with truth. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when the enemy comes in, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So don't fear the enemy. Don't fear the darkness. Don't fear the demonic. Don't fear the conspiracies or the witches. Don't fear any of that, because the word of God triumphs above them. The word of God is a sword and it's a hammer to bring deliverance to your life and to bring deliverance to the church. The church is not some mamby-pamby institution that's bidden its time upon the earth, hoping to survive long enough before Jesus returns. No, the church is a triumphant people. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is triumphantly declaring his lordship over the earth. We're triumphantly declaring his victory over the works of the devil. We are triumphant in Christ, more than conquerors in the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! When he comes, he will come for a people that are so intense, so committed, so declaring that they say, hey, glad you showed up. Glad you see what you produced in us. Welcome, Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome, Lord. We welcome you. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, it's not an hour to take your ease in Zion. The Bible said we'll give him no rest. No rest until he comes. I'm just going to wait for him to come and take care of my problems. I'm going to aggressively meet him. He says we're going to meet him in the air. I'm going to be on my tiptoes. Lord, here we are. We're ready. 1 Peter 2 says, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the word of God is like food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I just thought that I could live on enchiladas. And as much as I try to live on enchiladas, fajitas, and what they call the Crenshaw steak at Max El Rancho. It's an 8-ounce ribeye smothered in jalapenos. Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Woo! I tell you how anointed a Crenshaw is. I went and ate a Crenshaw last Sunday. Stewart took me out and fed me a 12-ounce New York on Tuesday, and I lost a pound and a half. Man, I've been dieting this thing, doing this diet thing all wrong. I didn't realize the less you eat, the more you lost. It's the more you eat, the more you lose. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You straightened out my theology just in time. But the Bible says that the newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Now, I got a little thing this morning, and this is nothing new. Maybe new to some of you. I don't know. Every generation births babies, right? One generation after another, new babes come. You know, I'm praying for some new babes here. Amen? But, you know, all I can do is tell you guys to go out and be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm talking about spiritual babes, okay? But every generation births the babes. Every generation trains the children. Every generation is to mature the sons so that the fathers can be revealed. That's what the word of the Lord does. It comes to us in such a many-faceted way that it ministers to every one of the levels that we're on in every generation. It's like milk. It's like bread. It's like meat. We need to desire the food, the word of the Lord. John 15:3 says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." So the word purifies. It's like buying a box of Tide. What does Tide do? Cleanses your clothes. Well, when you buy the word, when you eat the word, when the word becomes that which you desire, the washing of the water of the word will purify you. It'll set the stage in your life to become perfected in your spirit. For without holiness, no man shall see God. See, you're kidding yourself if you think. Now listen to me carefully. You're kidding yourself if you think you can walk around with a corrupt heart, with anger, strife, bitterness in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart, and not letting God deal with that and still expect to see the kingdom of God. Okay, I wasn't going to talk about all that stuff this morning. We can't be duplicitous in who we are. There has to be a single-mindedness within us that says, I am set to have my heart circumvented by God to where everything that's within me is taken out that is hindering your kingdom. I'm not going to walk around with my stinking thinking, my stinking attitude, my judgmental spirit any longer. I'm going to walk in the oneness of God to where everything within me is cleansed so I can become the vessel that manifests who he is. Kind of like with Jesus when he came to the temple, he just cleaned it out. Woo. He said, you've made my house a den of thieves. Now, Lord, help me that I not make this house a den of thieves, but I make it a house of prayer. A house of communion unto my God. How many want that in your life? How many don't want that stuff in your spirit? That attitude, those opinions, all that stuff in you that's tormenting you. It's a torment that comes to your mind that God wants to cleanse you from by the washing of the water of the word. I'm just in the appetizer. But I love the appetizers good, don't you? But you know what I love more than the appetizers? Is a sopapillas with honey. Oh, the dessert. Lord, help me to get to the dessert this morning. Now, you kind of like the appetizers, but you're going to have to chew a little harder here in a minute because we're going to get to the main course. But I hope to leave you with some dessert before we leave so that you'll at least leave feeling pretty good. I hope to give you so much dessert you have a little guilty pleasure. How many ever eat your favorite dessert? How many of you guys, you've just been doing really good on your diet, and about 9 o'clock comes, 9:30, and all of a sudden this radar goes off in your spirit. There's ice cream in the freezer. No, I'm going to resist that. No, I'm not going to take it. 2 minutes later, remember the ice cream. So you, like a zombie, you get up and you walk to the refrigerator. And by this time, you're out of your mind. You don't know what you're doing. And you reach up and get the bowl like a robot. And you get a spoon, pull out the ice cream. And you put the bowl, then all of a sudden, something comes and clicks and you open the refrigerator and you pull out the chocolate syrup. You walk back to the TV. You sit down and you play like you didn't do any of that. You eat it. You put the bowl up and you say, thank God that the Lord removes all of our sins, all of our transgressions, and he casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. You start using the grace card. Now, I'm just speaking to the older guys here, not you younger guys. You don't even know what temptation is yet till you get older. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture, everybody say all scripture. It's given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the word of God is profitable, isn't it? Amen. So how many like this, what I just told y'all? The fire, the light, the battle sword, the food, the purification, and the profitability of what God speaks. God says you can't lose if you indulge in my word. If you immerse yourself in your word, my word, you're going to become what I've called you to be. Now, let's go to the main course. John chapter 1, verse 1. If you'll turn there with me or read on the screen, they'll have that up in a moment, I assume. If they don't ever have the scripture up, y'all just be sure to let me know, okay? John chapter 1, there we go. Let's read that with me there. Let's all say it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Now I'm going to read some more, but I don't want you reading, okay? Just want to let you know. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. But the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, how many want to be in that classification of people? That God comes, Jesus manifests, Jesus reveals, but yet you don't receive what he has to say. How many really want to be part of that? How many want to be a part of the crowd that says, yes, Lord, we receive every word you speak? So just when you are in the proximity of the Lord doesn't count anything. It's only in how you receive him that counts. Because it's only in the receiving do you enable the word to become to you what it's designed to be to you. Remember, the word is your creation. You can go no further, no higher than what the word creates in you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of the Lord. It's in your ability to receive that you now give God the opportunity for you to become. But the nature of man is not given to receive. Our nature is to resist. Because by nature, we do not want to yield anything to anyone else, even God. The nature of man is to reserve a spot within ourselves that literally establishes ourselves as a God. Because in doing that, we say and we determine that the future of what we are is still dependent upon what we want. We take control of our life and determine what our life is going to be, irrespective of what God wants. So, are we those that receive him? Or are we those that have him around us, but we never acknowledge or receive who he is? To those that receive him, to them he gives the right or the access to become or the ability to or the privilege to become the sons of God. Because what is a son of God? A son of God is someone, according to the definition of the hymn, not according to our definition, but his definition, the son of God was one that came to do the will of the Father. God didn't create sons independent of who he was. He created sons to be an extension of who he was. Because of who he is, now they can see who he is through him. Jesus made that clear. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the one who sent me. So in order for us to become sons, then somewhere we have to lay down this right to self. Self-determination, self-will, self-choice, and be willing to be led by someone else. That's easy. Lord, I'm laying it all down to you. That's an easy statement to make to a God that I can't see. Oh, man, Lord, give me something to drink with this. Let me be able to swallow what I'm fixing to say. How many of you ever taken too big a chunk of meat off and you couldn't swallow it? Jack did that the other day. He was at the barbecue restaurant with Bobby Connor. And so, Sean Connor, you know, he's big, man. He's bigger than Bobby. Reaches over and grabs Jack. Boo! And all you could hear was this cracking noise. And I'm thinking, what am I sitting here for? I need to get up and save Jack. Sean Connor's going to kill him. And I think you thought that for a minute, didn't you? But Jack had something lodged in his throat. He was doing the Heimlich maneuver. Still hurting his ribs. Kind of like when I was in Korea. I was in South Korea, and they took me to this spa. And this guy, I'm laying there on the spa, and this guy all of a sudden jumps up, and there's these bars up on the ceiling. And he's a stocky Korean guy. I didn't know that they had told the Korean people at the spa, this is a very important American. We want you to take real good care of him. I'm sure glad they told them that, because if that was taking good care of me, I would hate to see what happened if they weren't taking good care of me. I wouldn't be here today, believe me. So he gets up and he starts walking on my back. And I'm thinking, huh, my guy probably weighs 185 pounds. Big, stocky, strong. And I'm not even telling you the first part, because I'm just telling you this part. So all of a sudden I'm thinking, this is too much pressure. And I'm just about to stop him when all of a sudden you could hear it audibly. On one of my ribs. So the guy couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak Korean other than annyeonghaseyo, which means how are you? And I wasn't about to ask him how he was at that moment. I wanted to tell him some words that probably is not proper. But I hollered, pain, 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 because this rib popped. And I'm, oh. So it was 2 days later, I come back from Korea, and I'm flying in the plane. I'm having to lean on this one side all the way. I couldn't even get on that side at all. So I get back, and I look like this coming home. How, honey, how did it go in Korea? Oh, it was wonderful. God really, really moved over there. It was awesome how the Lord worked. It was only, I couldn't resist. I said, I got to go play golf a couple of days later, and I'm going out to the golf course. I get the golf club, and I swung it, and when I did, pop, I heard the pop. I've been okay ever since. So some of you this morning may need to get some popping after you leave. That's the moral of the story, right? Because it's only when we yield ourselves to the word of the Lord to the point that that word becomes preeminent in our life that we can become a proper representation of the one who spoke it. Amen? So God revealed himself through Jesus, the man, to show us who he is. Jesus became the model. He became the image. He became the mirror. It was the word becoming flesh. in the midst of us. God is the architect of this whole thing, and we're the building. He's drawn the plans. He's laid out the construction work that's to be done. He's given the instructions on how it's to happen. We become the clay. He's the potter. Because he's making us into a building, to a people that can manifest his glory to the earth, that can reveal his nature and his heart to hurting humanity. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Spirit." I've often wondered, how do you receive the word in affliction and joy at the same time? How many know what I'm talking about? Did you know a lot of things in this world, in this earth, and in your life is very painful? But there's nothing that can substitute for the joy that God gives you. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, what you endure in this becoming process, there's always a constant of the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. For God never fails you, nor will he ever forsake you, nor will he ever abandon you in any respect. He loves you so much, and even Hebrews says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son he receiveth." I know that's not a popular scripture to quote. But he does that so that afterwards you will reap the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's sometimes through your suffering and through the pain, the things that you go through in this process of conformity to his image, through that process, God is creating something that's more precious than gold and silver. And Paul said, as you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much affliction, you became examples to everyone in Macedonia who believe. Far from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. But also in every place, your faith towards God has gone out. There's something that you can trust in someone else when you see how they endure the trials of life. They used to always say, don't really trust someone until they have the smell of smoke on them. Or until they've been through the fire. Because when you start trusting in people's flesh, you'll always be disappointed. But when you trust in what God has produced in them, you'll never be disappointed. For Jesus said, I don't know anyone after the flesh, but now I only know you after your heart, after your spirit. So what God produces in us is far greater than what's produced in the world. We read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It said, it's a beautiful scripture, God speaking through the apostles. If you want to look there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Next verse. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So, in the order of God, when God came through Christ, he spoke through Jesus, didn't he? This word that Jesus brought was different than any word that any man had ever heard, because this was a word of spirit and of life. It was not the words of the law, nor the words of doctrine, nor the words of tradition, but it was a fresh word from heaven that God was speaking to humanity. And they were marveled at what he was saying. And so when Jesus came, he became the first example of how this pattern works, didn't he? He was the pattern son. Everybody say he was the first son. He was the first begotten son of God. But the purpose of Jesus was not to end in himself, but through his walk with God and his obedience to the Father, and ultimately his sacrifice on the cross, the purpose of Jesus was to introduce to the world a whole new nation, a whole new people that never had been seen before. He was birthing something upon the earth that never had been revealed before. It was birthing the kingdom of God. Bringing the presence of the Father for the first time that could dwell now in the hearts of men and women. Not externally, not relating to God from afar off or just through a prophet, but now God himself dwelt in everyone that believes. Are you glad you're a believer this morning? God dwells in you. It says that Christ now is in you. He is the hope of glory in your life. So the first ones that God called became what we call the apostles. Is that correct? Now, when the last apostle died, did apostles cease upon the earth? I used to believe they did. I used to believe that miracles ceased. There's no more prophets. There's no more apostles. There's no more of this. But for some reason, I still believe there was pastors, evangelists, and teachers. You know what I'm saying? Those worked, but the miracles didn't work anymore. The gifts of the Spirit were no longer relevant. There was no apostles and prophets. But for some reason, we still had pastors and evangelists and teachers. I don't understand that. You used to believe that, didn't you, Ron, when we were, you know, one of those other people? And but it said in the book of Ephesians that when the church was first born, the one thing that began to happen, they began to give themselves to prayer. They began to give themselves to fellowship. They began to give themselves to the breaking of bread and to this very one important thing, to the doctrine of the apostles. Because in order for Christ to continue to perpetuate and manifest who he was to the earth, he had to create the same thing in them that was created in him. Every one of these apostles, he spent time with to cultivate and develop their hearts to the Father so that they would have the same relationship to the Father that he had. Because the ultimate goal of the Father is to present sons to the Father. Is to bring the sons and present them and say, these are your sons, Lord. These are your sons. So the ultimate goal of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher on the earth today, the fivefold gift ministry, God said he gave this ministry so they could equip the saints for the work of the ministry until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God takes us and ministry to duplicate himself through. So the goal that I have, or the goal that any leader has, is to become an illustrated example of the one that has called us and gave his life for us, and us to become an example of the connection that we've established with him to lead a life that manifests his nature in perfection. That's why Paul could say, you follow me as I follow the Lord. I give yourself to me as I give myself to the Lord. You say, well, I don't want that. I don't want to give myself to anyone because I am my own independent agent. Don't work. Because until we can learn to bring this to work among us, it can never work for heaven. Because its separation is not the Spirit of God. Separation is the spirit of the Antichrist. To be isolated and independent and self-serving is an Antichrist spirit. The Christ spirit is to be submissive and humble and yielding. So I can say this without reservation, and I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Much of Christianity is locked into an Antichrist spirit. Because the thing that it seeks to serve, it actually disserves. Because in the establishment of who we are, in our independence, we're not serving the nature of Christ. And I'm not thinking about anybody or any place in particular. I'm thinking about us. I'm thinking about me. See, my job is not to become a better preacher. Not to become a better administrator. My job is to become a better son. Because I want to be a father. I want to be an example. And as long as my heart and your heart, we're pressing in, Lord, we want to be the pure example of who you are. I mean, we're imperfect And it's going to be a long time to get to that perfection, but we're going to press into the perfection. Not that we've yet laid hold of it, not that yet we've yet obtained it, but he said, I'm pressing into the mark of the call of God in Christ Jesus. That's my goal. That's my intent, is to become like him in every aspect. Whew. Lord. Like Ricky Drake. Rick, we bless Ricky Drake. They're out taking care of relatives that have been injured in the hurricane and stuff. Ricky will say, Lord. Wow, I like it. Lord. Whew. So the role of a leader is to be a humble example of oneness and unity and submission. See, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I didn't come to receive accolades. I came to give. I mean, that's got to be my heart. I'm not saying I follow that perfectly. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of falling from that time to time. But anytime I do, I'm convicted. I come back. When I was in Korea, the thing, you know, Daniel will tell you what happened over there. I didn't go over there with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't go over there with some wonderful illustrated teaching that just wowed the people and made them freak out. I just went over and served them. I loved them. And they said, we haven't seen anyone, and I'm saying this as an illustration, not as a bragging. They said, we haven't ever met anyone like you. Everyone that comes over here, they want us to serve them. They want the offering. They want to eat more food. So how come you don't eat more food? I said, well, I'm eating enough. Well, so everybody comes over, they just eat. I was careful around them. I didn't overeat around them. I didn't become a glutton in the midst of them. Not that I couldn't have. I could have. But I had to be an example of who Christ is. I didn't come and say, okay, do this and do this for me. What can I do for you? I want to wash your feet. I want to serve you. And Jesus said that. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, if you want to be an illustration of really who the Father is, then become the servant of all. The higher you advance in the Christian ministry and in Christian acclaim, the more you should advance in servanthood, in humility, and submission. If they're not working side by side, it becomes destructive for your life. Ha! I'm feeling like eating a Crenshaw. Woo! Man. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm glad I got started early. It gives me a little license. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I didn't do that on purpose. It just happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Wow. Oh, verse 1. Do we begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, in some other epistles of commendation, how do you say it? Commendation to you, are letters of commendation from you? Question mark. No, he said, we don't need to commend ourselves to you. We don't need to tell you who we are, because this is why. Because you are our epistle in our hearts, known and read by all men. You. I'm talking about you. You are manifestly an epistle of Christ. See, in the Old Testament, when they would sin, they would take an iron stylus and they would write that sin upon their heart. But in the New Testament, the Lord said, I'm not going to remember your sins any longer. Now I'm going to take my stylus of grace and love, and I'm going to write upon your heart this new covenant. It's a covenant. It says in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord, I will make a new covenant with them. They're my laws and my statutes, I will write upon their hearts. We become the living expression of God's word upon the earth. It's not good enough for me to preach about the word, talk about the word, tell you about the word. I have to become the word of God upon the earth. That's what separates theology and what we see in the theological depth in so much of our Christian atmosphere today. That's what separates from the true thing that God wants to reveal. That's why Paul said, as learned and as educated and as well-informed and as prestigious as Paul's life was before Christ, Paul said, now, I am this man, Paul, no longer Saul. I am Paul, the man that comes to preach to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest upon the wisdom of men, but upon demonstration of who God is in the midst of you. We become the living, God-given, life-breathed, living word of God to the earth. You think it'll come any way different? It won't. It has to come the same pattern that the Jesus had with the Father, the apostles had with Jesus to the Father, and that same pattern is given to us. The thing that God bursts on the earth in this hour, called the kingdom, is so opposite of what man has created by its church mentality that the church, by and large, won't recognize the kingdom when it comes. Because it won't come with observation, or will it come from, with fame or acclaim? It'll come through the birth of humility. It's birthed in the hearts of those that have yielded themselves to this fire, this light, this purification of God that comes through the word of the Lord. That's the kingdom. Wow. It's so easy, isn't it? To fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love. It's easy to fall in love. Yeah, I'm so old enough. I'm old enough. I heard Buddy Holly sing. It's so easy to fall in love at the Mule Shoe VFW Hall, 1958. That's why the Bible says, listen to your elders. Some of you need to start listening to your elders. Some of you young whippersnappers need to find the elders and hold on to them. You need to find some people that have been tempered by the fire. You've been listening to some stuff out there that's not really profitable to you. You need to find the apostles' doctrine. Plunge into it. That's the doctrine of liberty and freedom. That's the doctrine of connection. As you see, there's many teachers out there, but there's very few fathers. Most people don't respect the fathers much when they're in the process of growth. So they get a little older and they realize how important they were. Most people want ticklers, teachers that will tickle their ears, make them feel good about themselves. Make them tell them that everything's all right, you don't have to worry about it. Nah, it ain't all right. It's only going to be all right when you line yourself up with him. Living the life the way you're choosing it, that's not all right. That's not all right. It's not all right to make your own choices, find your own way, determine your own destiny. It's not all right because there's one that died on the cross for you. That wants you 100% lockstep. He wants your life in his. Wow. You see, I've been reading that book lately, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Ah, Jesus read that book too, didn't he? He said, come on, just eat of my flesh, drink of my flesh, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Looked around, they're all gone. Where'd they go? And he looked at his disciples, were you guys going to leave too? He said, nah, guess not. Where else can we go? We're ruined ourselves. So you need to get so into this, you get so ruined by it, you don't have any options. If you're still teetering on whether you're trying to make up your mind if this is okay or not, guess what? You won't make it. This is only for the people that want to go all in. Are you one of those people? Do you want to go all in for the Lord? Do you want to commit yourself, submit yourself, yield yourself 100% to what God wants for your life? Is that what you really want? Okay, then do it. You tell me about your faith, let me see your works. Demand that of me too. Pastor, you talk about all your faith, let's see your works. Okay, here they are. I'll show you. Show you my works. But I'm praying one thing, that I never get proud of my works. I just reach in, God, give me more. Give me more. Let me be more in you. Wow. Because it ain't the works that are going to please God. It's my faith that pleases him. But out of my faith that pleases him, the works come forth. You don't have to work this thing up when you do this. It just happens for you. Oh, I got to get stirred up. I got to get fired up. I got to get faithful. I got to commit myself. If you're trying to do all that stuff, you'll never make it. You're going to wear out your wear outer. How many have ever worn out a wear outer? My Lord, I got up this morning. I said, I'm just going to go and I'm going to make everybody happy. If I succeeded, I said, I'm going to go and just smile the whole way through this message. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so light that people are just going to freak out. They're going to say, preacher, why aren't you preaching some more stuff? You're just giving us that light stuff. 1 Peter, did I read that to you? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read that. Put that up on the board there. 1 Peter. As each one has received a gift, everybody read that. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with as the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's good, isn't it? See, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle. Put your hand on your mouth. I am becoming and am an oracle of God. So that's going to control some of your speech a little bit out there in the world, isn't it? How many people have you cussed out because they messed up with you? How many people have you jumped on because they upset you? I went to the car place the other day and took my car in. And they called me, it was ready. So I took my rental car back and got an Uber, come back to the car place. They drove my car out and they said, oh, sorry, it's not ready. You got another problem. It's going to cost you twice as much. And I had a choice to make right then. Yeah, bah, 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 bah. Or, okay, praise the Lord. I just want you to explain it to me so I understand it. So the guy did. I said, okay, that's all I need. I just needed the understanding. And I bless you in the name of the Lord. See, I had to become an oracle of God because that man led to see me. It doesn't mean I don't need an explanation or someone tell me, but I have to represent Jesus to that person because that's the last person he might ever see. You never know. It might be the one person he said, man, I came and stuck this guy with this double bill and I expected him to cuss me out and get mad and fume. And they were probably like pulling back, ready to defend themselves. And all he did was bless me. Wow. Woo. Well, what did he, is he ripped me off? I don't think so. But if he is, guess what? He is. I bless him. What's that going to do to that guy? See, you are an oracle of God. You're a steward. You're a representative. Everything you do represents who he is. You are becoming the vessels by which he is revealed to the world or not. I hear reports all the time. Man, I want to be around anybody but them Christians. They get madder than anybody I've ever seen. They cuss more than anybody I've seen cuss. They get upset more than anybody in the world gets upset. I hear that all the time because I play golf with those guys. You're one of them Christians? They're just waiting for me to explode. Well, when are you going to cuss? When are you going to use God's name in vain? When are you going to get so mad and throw your clubs and scream and holler, rant and rave? No, I let the atheists do that out there. I don't do that. I just praise the Lord. Because they're looking at me. You say, well, I don't want them to look at me, so I'm not going to tell them who I am. No, you need to tell everyone who you are. You need to tell them that you're a Christian. You need to tell them that you're a representative of the Father. they'll start trying to prove it. They'll start pushing your buttons. Guess what? You bless them in the name of the Lord. You are the representation. Whatever you do, do it in the Lord so it'll bring glory and honor to Him. Are you getting that? Everybody say, I got it. How many are repenting a little bit? Okay. Some of you need to repent a little bit. Some of you need to repent a lot. I had that happen the other day. The guy tried to run me off the highway, and he tried to. He tried to cut around, and he pulled in front of me on the access road of Mopac and stopped and was getting out of his car to come get me. And I just told him, "What's the problem? What did I do?" And I just started blessing him. I didn't shoot him. I didn't cuss him. I didn't cuss him back. I didn't motion him back. I didn't do anything. I just kept blessing him in the name of the Lord. I mean, I really thought my life may be in danger. But what am I going to do? Am I going to be the representative of the Lord, or am I going to be my own representative? Am I going to defend who I am, or am I going to let God become my defense? Am I going to let the Word become my defense? You're joining with Christ. Everybody say, I'm joining with Christ to create His kingdom by what we're becoming. Listen, by what we're becoming and by what we're proclaiming. You can say all day long you're becoming something, but until you can begin to proclaim it, you're really not that something you think you are. You're only as good as what happens in your worst moment of testing. You're no better than that. You say, well, I'm just living my Christian life pretty good, but boy, they really got to me. And look at it come out of me now. Then that's telling you that you've really got a long ways to go on your knees till the Word of God gets in your heart. And I'm telling you this from experience, how many times I've had to eat it. Oh, God, woe unto me. I'm undone. I'm manifesting myself, my old nature, my resentment, my bitterness, my insecurity, all those things. I'm manifesting, Lord. Look at me. I'm not manifesting who You are. I'm not an ambassador of Christ. But when the Word of God rules in my heart, I become that perfect representation of the Lord. Be ye perfect, saith, He says, as even as He is. Be you holy even as He is. Be you blameless even as He is. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, some of you are saying right now, I've been listening to that for an hour, corrupt communication. This isn't corrupt communication. This is the Word of the Lord unadulterated in order to bring us to a conclusion of confrontation so that we can begin to become something more than what we are. It's not leaving you where you are. It's designed to create something in you that you're not, if you're not. I may be preaching to the choir. Many of you not need this, but apparently I do. How many here need it? Face up. You need it. I need it. Some of you might not need it. But I want there to be a perfection out of my mouth. Wouldn't it be great if that every situation you encountered that you knew in advance that you were 100% confident that Jesus would come through you? That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it's got to be in order for His kingdom to be manifested to the earth. Wow. Jesus said, I'm not speaking from myself. Speaking from the Father. Every time I speak, I'm careful to only speak what He would speak. You're becoming living epistles upon whom He can write His story upon you. He can say to the world who He is. You are an expression of all that God has to say, all that He is. You are His mouthpiece. Everybody say, mouthpiece. Stand up. Stand up. Say, I'm His mouthpiece. I'm His hands. Hold your hands out. Shake them like this. You know, when deaf people want to tell you applause, they shake like this, right? Saw that on America's Got Talent. They do like this. The girl won the America's Got Talent the other day. She's a ventriloquist. Anybody see that? She was 12 years old. I'm thinking about taking that up. I'm thinking about getting me a doll that looks like Bobby Connor. and start preaching. Preaching with my ventriloquist friend. No, I'm just joking. The funny one, get one like Mahesh Chopra. It looks like him sitting down here. And he could bounce around, you know, make everybody laugh, you know. I love Mahesh. He makes us laugh. While he's sticking the sword in and twisting it. Okay, he does a better job of that than me. So we are the mouthpiece. We are the, what, the hands. Everybody move you, shuffle your feet. We're his feet. Hallelujah. So we need to pray. We need to pray, God, every leader we have in the body of Christ, we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that they be a perfect representation. Paul said, I want you to imitate me as I imitate Christ. So you need, if you're a member of this house and you consider me a pastor or a leader, then pray for me that I would walk in this, because I want to imitate Christ. And pray for every leader that you know. Wives, pray for your husbands. Lord, let my husband be a representation of Christ. Let him be a representation that I can imitate that. Amen. Pray for your boss. Lord, I pray for my boss that he may be an imitation of Christ, that you may deal with his heart that makes him a representation of who you are. That's why the Bible says that we're to pray for the masters. We're to pray for the rulers. We're to pray for the elders. We do that because we're creating, helping create in them who they're becoming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Oh, thank you, Lord. I pray for all the leaders of this house, Father, this morning. Every leader, every teacher, every elder, pastor, evangelist, teacher, I pray that every one of them, Lord, this morning would reveal and manifest the perfection of Christ in them. That lean not unto their own understanding, but they would lean wholly unto the Lord. As pure imitators, as pure manifestations of the nature of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I come this morning. You might join with me in this if you want to. Lord, I repent the areas of my life that I haven't yielded. Many areas I've been like a wild horse, going where I choose, doing what I want. But Lord, bridle me. Lead me, Lord. For as when I was young, I chose my own destiny. But as I've grown older, I choose to be led by another. I choose to be led by you, Lord. Lead me into the paths of righteousness, in the place of fruitfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So let it be written. So let it be done. So let it be written, and so let it be done in our hearts today. The Lord is good. Woo. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord, we bless thy name. Oh, thank you, Father.
Yeah, so God, we just surrender our will to you this morning. We say that in opinions, it's as a vapor, that our opinions no longer matter. But we say that what God says and what God speaks this morning, he accomplishes it. He starts it, he works it out, and he finishes it. And so we just yield our will to you, God, that what you are speaking may be done in us, so it may become your word to the earth. Yes, Lord, we just welcome your divine alignment, the divine alignment of your word in our spirits, that your word would come and light up all the dark places, that anything that is not yielded to Jesus Christ, that it would just go, and that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, God, oh, Father, we love you so much. Lord, we love your word. We eat your word, God. We abide in your word, Lord, as your word abides in us, Lord. Your word pours forth in us, Lord, and it will be your word coming forth from our mouths, Lord. We yield ourselves unto you, Lord, for your purposes, for your delight, Lord. We are set apart unto you, God. cut away everything, Lord, of self. We yield it to you, God. Any rebellious place, Lord, any place that would turn back, God, we yield that to you, Lord, that we would just abide in you, God, for your glory to be manifest, Lord. It's time for your face to be seen, God, upon the world. Let your face be seen. Let your voice be heard, Father. Here we are, God.
I declare that this word today is a foundational word. The word you've spoken to us is a word we can build a life upon. Lord, let it deeply set within us and let us build upon the foundation that you're laying in our hearts today. We bless this word.
Yes, Lord, I just declare that we are your oracles and that your truth comes out of our lips every day, every moment, that there would be no question of what to speak, Lord, but that your word would come out so true and so strong from our lips.
Lord, we receive this word, this alive, living word, not as we want to receive it, but as you are, so that as you are, we may be also.
Thank you, Father, that you're speaking from heaven. Speak from heaven, Lord, into our hearts this morning. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within us, Lord. Let us comply, Lord, into your heart this morning with everything that's within us, Lord. We give ourselves freely, Lord. Freely we give you. Freely we give you our lives today. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.